is the only true God, Jehovah. Hallelujah. I tell you, with Him, all things are possible. No matter how dark it looks, I'll tell you what. We get God involved in situations and things can change around. And the key word there, when we get God involved in situations, how awesome it is when we stand in intercession. You know, we see the things in the world going on. We see the things that are really earth-shattering to us. And it breaks our heart. But, you know, we can do something about it. And that's by intercession, by praying for that situation, by inviting God into that situation. Because, you know, it's kind of like, I'm sure demonstration before up here, if me and Kevin was wrestling back and forth and they're in a tag match and I want out, I'm getting whooped and I need out and I have to reach out and tag Daryl. And once I tag him, wow, I get some relief and a fresh body comes in and it beats up Kevin. That's the same way of the situation in our lives right now. People are struggling a lot right now. They're really struggling. And they're just about going down for the count. But when we reach out to them and reach up to the Lord, we are interceding. We're bringing the power of the living God into that situation. We're bringing every promise He's given us through Abraham into that situation. We're bringing that name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ in that situation. We speak it out. There is hope. There is hope. Don't think there isn't any hope. In a situation that you might be going through today, or maybe even a loved one's going through today, God will use that for good. Understand that He'll use that for good. Sometimes things doesn't turn out the way we want them, but we don't see the big picture. Okay? If you ever watch that guy on television, he got the fuzzy hair that does that painting. Forget what his name is. He speaks Wilson. Bob. Okay, Bob. Bob what? Bob Ross. When he starts painting, you have no idea what he's doing. I mean, I look at that, man, you see this green stuff and black stuff, and my land, he's just amazing. But if you've ever seen Bob Ross paint before, you know, well, he's not done yet, okay? I don't understand what he's doing, but when he's done, there'll be a picture there, and it'll be perfect. The same way of God in our lives and lives of your loved one. You might not see what he's doing. Right now, you might look at your life or the loved one, and you're like, man, what kind of mess is that? Man, I brought God into him, God, the great painter of everything, the creator of everything, into the situation, and I look at it, it looks terrible, it looks ugly. Well, what is he doing? Well, we have to just step back and realize that God is God, and his ways aren't our ways, and his timing isn't our timing. And if we just watch, we'll start seeing things coming together, coming together, coming together. And when we get out to here, we'll realize why this had to be here. There had to be something to build on. There had to be something he had to paint on. And that's that canvas. Without the canvas, the painting wouldn't exist. So whatever he's doing right now, as you invite him into your life, as you're following Christ in your life, as you're interceding for loved ones, trust and believe in the Lord and to continue to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Don't walk away from the painting when he's still painting. Because when he's done, you'll miss what the painting was all about. And he has it in his head what he wants. You know, many of us, if I was going to paint right now, I'd probably paint maybe 3 or 4 cows out in the grass, chewing their cud, waiting to get milked, okay? Brother Joe, you might be deer running in your backyard. You know, you're getting ready to go hunting or something, okay? But your picture, my picture, is ours. It's not the same. Well, God's got the ultimate picture. He knows exactly what he wants for each one of us. And sometimes we try to move the brushes. Oh, paint over here, Lord, and he needs to paint over here. We just need to trust him that whatever he's doing it. And we just stand on his word and trust in him that he will bring us through these situations. You know, sometimes if you're painting and you... Well, this would be Cindy painting. She's painting... And they start talking to the husband, talking to her friend. Hey, how you doing? Man, she's way off the camera. Now she messed it up because she wasn't paying attention. She just kind of got loose there a little bit. You know, so she had to wipe this out and kind of start over again. Okay? Well, we pay attention to what we're doing in life and allow Christ to lead us every day. We'll have less of these goofy things and a better painting there. But the thing of it is, don't be afraid to go back and start over again. Don't be afraid to say, I'm going to wipe this. I think you get mineral spirits and wipes off paint. I think it does. Well, the blood of Jesus wipes off our sins and our mistakes if we do. So make sure we allow him to clean that up. In these days that we're living in, that we're blessed to be a part of, we see a lot of things going on that we just want to shake our heads at. We know also, remember this, that when Satan, he hates us because of Jesus, because of God who created us. And if he can't get us to stumble, sometimes we'll go after loved ones, will he not? He'll try to do that. You know, in our own lives, if Buck can't stand me and comes after me, I just stand there at him and look at him and resist him. Well, he knows how to get me. He goes after my kids, you know? And that's what Satan does. So what do? We continue to pray and intercede for our children, covering the blood of Jesus Christ. When we say, I place the blood of Christ over my son today, then I declare that no weapon formed against him is going to prosper. That's the authority and the strength that we have as a born-again Christian. Amen? Amen. But we've got to speak it out and share that. In these days, we look around, and we've talked about it many times, but God is kind of there again this morning, is that what you see taking place has to take place as his signs of the things that's coming, of his return. But just don't concentrate on the bad times that we're in. Look toward the good times. Amen. Look beyond. You know, let it be a Wednesday for you. You know, you're right in the middle, getting close to payday. Let's keep our eyes on the payday and not on the work we got to do. We'll continue to do the work, okay? But let payday continue to encourage us to do what we have to do. And in the same way here, yes, we're going through some tribulations right now, some trials as Christians and the world is. But look towards the coming of the Lord. Let that encourage us to continue on. We'll say, well, I just can't do one more day. I just can't do it. You can do it. Through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Pardon me?
Hour by hour.
Hour by hour. If you have to, go minute by minute. I've been there before. You know, have you ever been? That's kind of like my message there. Thank you, hon. You ever take a stress test before? Down there, done. I think I've got the record for the most of them, probably. Of course, look who I'm married to. But when I got on the stress machine, there's several different ones. I get on the stress machine, and they'll give me like 4 minutes. Okay, can you do this in 4 minutes? Yeah, no problem. Well, you get on this machine and you start going, and it's not too bad. Hey, it's not too bad at all, is it, Joe? Just kind of. But then they start elevating it. Oh, and elevating, I mean, maybe even 10%. Really, you go to 30%, I think. But it gets to the point you're hanging on and you're watching that clock. All right, 1 minute, 59, 58. And what's keeping you going is that clock, okay? If that clock wasn't there, I'd give up because I can't continue on, okay? But you get there, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, boom, and you get off. Soon you get done, you just jump off that thing. Well, that's the same way we look at the Word of God today. We see the coming of the Lord. We see the events that are taking place, and that should encourage us that we're about ready to get off this treadmill, okay? That we can hang in there one more day because we're seeing the prophecies being fulfilled at an alarming rate, and we know His return is very, very quickly, and we need to keep our eyes, boom, on the prize, and that's eternity with the Lord, okay? Not to give up. If we jumped off that treadmill halfway through the test, then we'd never have it completed. And what happens after that? There's a lot more tests. You know, they fill you full of glow-in-the-dark stuff. They did me a couple of times, you know. But you can be strengthened knowing that, just think, when you get down that test, you get off of it, you got Tim Hortons coming your way. Yeah, you can eat because you had a fast the day before. But we have to look at things to encourage us. I mean, today, look at today. Look how beautiful it is outside today. 2 months ago, we didn't have that, did we not? In fact, you weren't here 2 months ago. We spent the whole month of February at home, I think. But look at this. But we hung in there. We kept giving. We didn't give up. And today, look how beautiful it is out there. We are still assembled here. We could have packed up and moved down to Florida. So, Joe, I'm tired of all this snow and ice. You know, I'm going someplace where I can have church every Sunday and don't have to worry about. No, we hung it out there. Nah, we're in this thing together, and we stuck to it. And here it is today. It's beautiful sunshine and stuff out there. And all the bacon's going mushroom hunting in tomorrow and bringing some mushrooms in and stuff. So, but just as the Lord told us, and the prophecy told us about the Lord coming and raising it from the dead, He also told us He's going to come again. And He has shared with us what things will be like. And what we want to do when we look at these prophecies and we see these, and we've talked about them before, but God wants to encourage us today that, man, we are there. We are where He said we were going to be at. Is this too loud back here or anything, guys? Okay. I heard echoing in my ears. But we can't give up. We can't get tired. We can't say, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Joe, it could be tomorrow. Could be the day that the Lord's coming back. How many really believe that He can come back any time now the prophecy is being fulfilled? And we have to encourage it. You know, hey, come on, Cindy, one more day. He might be back tomorrow. You know, we can do one more day. Fred, we can do one more day, man. I know you can. You know, but you know, it takes a lot more encouraging the closer we get to His return because things are getting so heavy. Oh, my land. Our hearts are getting heavy for things that's going on. Even our own minds and stuff are being attacked by Satan all the time. He's trying to bring stuff into our mind, distort the Word of God. Did it really come back? Are you really born again? Are you really saved? Now listen, if you was really, really saved, wouldn't your life be perfect, Daryl? Wouldn't your life be perfect if he was really, really saved? What kind of God is it that you're going through trials and stuff? Yeah, I think you might get hold of the wrong God, did you not? Folks, Satan will do that. I'm telling you. He will, especially if you get yourself isolated. If you start staying by yourself and stay out of fellowship and stuff, he will start distorting the Word of God. He'll twist it around. I'm telling you what, he's very good at it. And look what he did to Eve. He'll take it and he'll start distorting it. He'll start distorting the Word of God. And the next thing you know, you're not sure what you're going to believe. The next thing you know, you step out of fellowship. But God is God. And Daryl, I know you're born again. You know? How many folks have been baptized in here? Amen. When you're baptized, that is an outward appearance of what's already took place. So when the old evil one gets on you and starts telling you you're no good, you're not saved, wait, remember that water when it came over top of you? Have the blood of Christ, he had already washed your sins away. That's for you to remember when he comes after you. Hey, I am born again. I've been saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. Get behind me, Satan. And start casting down those lies that he's bringing into your life. We're going to have trials and tribulations as Christians, are we not? In fact, we have more trials and tribulations, I believe, because we have a large heart. Not just our own trials we go through. We go through each other's trials, do we not, and tribulations. Our heart breaks when somebody else has gone through a tough time. And we're not just praying for our own needs. Now we're praying for other people's needs. And we're seeing them go through it, and other people go through it. And we're just standing in the middle just praying, because that's what we do as a Christian. We intercede. We make a difference in people's lives because Christ has made a difference in our life. We can't forget that. We can't give up on that part. Is that, how can I pray when I'm going through a tough time, Buck? Well, I'll tell you what. I really believe as we pray for people in the situation that we're in, it allows God to do things for us and the things that we're in. You know, many of you here have been healed. And, pardon me? Amen. We're reaping what we're sowing. And we think a lot of times that's bad, you know. They say, well, Fred, you're going to reap what you sow. Most time I said it in a negative, but it's really a positive. Man, when you're sowing good seed and stuff, you're going to reap that in the hour of need. Amen? You will do this. So remember that. Whatever you're doing, man, it's going to come back to you. And it's not karma. Karma is Buddhist. Okay? I'm not a Buddha. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. What a person reaps, you will sow. So have that faith in God that he will bring back to you what you sowed into other people's lives. You know, Joseph was given a dream. He's in the Old Testament. I'll just paraphrase it here. He was given a dream that there's going to be seven skinny cows, seven fat cows. And the dream meant God was telling him to be 7 years of plenty. Then there'll be 7 years of drought. Okay? And so what Joseph did, he prepared in the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of drought. Because God told him it was going to take place. And what he started doing, he started putting extra food away and preparing for the time that was coming. And in 7 years, the drought came. And he had plenty of food to get through that time with. Why? Because he listened to God, followed the prophecies, and he and not just saved himself, but he saved the Egyptians and also his own people. Prophecies given to us for our good, to help us out, if we just listen to it and yield ourselves to it. And we look at Joseph, and he knew that 7 years of drought was coming. But you know, the Lord didn't say 8 years, did he? He said 7 years. So he had something to focus on, that he knew that the time would come when the drought would be gone. So he had prepared himself to go through the 7 years of drought, looking towards the eighth year when we'd be back in the time of plenty again. Amen? Think of that. He was looking forward to the time when the drought would be over. He kept his eyes focused on getting to where he wanted to go to, and that's back in the land of plenty. So during his time, when he had plenty, they saved back, they put stuff away, preparing for the tough time that's coming, but looking forward when the tough time is gone. And today, as Christians, we do the same thing. Yes, we see things that are coming. We see the tough times are coming. And we are right now in the time of plenty. And plenty. We have plenty of preachers. We have plenty of the word going out right now. We have plenty of food. We have plenty of income. We are We are focused on that today. We have everything that we need. But the Bible says, the Lord says, that a time is coming that there will be another drought. That there will be really difficult times and tough times, okay? And we're going to go through part of that, okay? But we have to look towards the end of it. There's a time of coming of the rapture of the church. There's a time of coming of the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a time of coming where we'll be out of this and never go through it again. A time we'll spend eternity forever and ever in a place called heaven. So what we're looking at today is only temporarily. Okay, we have to be prepared to go through how much of it that we have to go through it. But we need our eyes focused on getting through it. Okay? Don't let the trial scare you away from the reward. And I tell you, sometimes people kind of grumble at you, do they? People are grumble at you when you're talking about the Lord. Or start talking about the rapture of the church or the coming of the Lord or the Antichrist, one world government, one world religion. Kathy, that's all you talk about. That's all you talk about. I go to dinner with Kathy and she talks about, oh, you think the Lord's coming today? Think he's coming today? Better be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Grumbling. People grumble. How many people in your mind right now are grumbling? Oh, here we go again. He's telling me to get prepared. Get ready. I don't even grumble. I don't even tell you this until he comes. Okay? Once he's, boom. Once he comes, I will not mention anything else about it again. But we are in a time of plenty right now, and God wants you to be prepared spiritually and physically that we will be going through a drought time. We know the earthquakes have increased. We know the, look at the tornadoes. Look at California. California is so dry over there now. They've cut back water usage 20, 25%. They've digging up their orchards by backhoes, burning them. They're dead. The water is almost gone in California. It's getting worse all the time. I showed that maybe a couple of days ago to somebody. And then you look at the drought, and then we look at disease on the bats we was talking about. They got a white nose disease where over 2 million bats have died. I know we don't like bats, but they're really beneficial to us. They eat things called insects, okay? And they fertilize also, but they kill the population of insects, okay? And I can remember a time in the Old Testament that Pharaoh introduces some insects. Well, we don't need that, do we? No, amen. And then down in the southern part, the turkey population, the turkey disease, H2N176, something like that, attacking the turkey population. So there's food, insects, drought. So these things are taking place. And I don't know if they're taking place in California is back because everything in California comes to the east. Have you noticed that in your life? Everything that's weird. Yeah. If you're in California, listen to me. I'm sorry, but it's true. Everything weird starts out in California, it seems like. Remember in the 60s, you know? Well, some of you guys can't remember the 60s, but you were there. I know you was. That's why you can't remember it. Started in California first. But it comes to the east. We had the flower movement, the drugs. We have to move right along there. You notice I don't have anybody raise their hands on that one. But it started out there. Then everything that anti-God seemed like it starts in California. The homosexual movement, the gay rights and stuff, all started in the east or in the west coming east. I don't know whether God is moving his hands away from those states because they're denying him his presence in their local government. I don't know what's going on in the Pennsylvania and southern part of the states. But I know that we have to stand firm upon his word. And as people in Ohio, we have to encourage our representatives and our people who's over us to be biblically sound. And when we have laws coming up that could go against the Word of God, we need to speak out and call them and say, listen, we want to stand firm on the Word of God. We don't want our state to affirm what God calls sin. Because that's not just our repercussions, it'll fall on the next generation. Do you understand that? When God is removed, He is removed. And we might slide by because we've got a few years left, but another generation comes behind us, they'll be raising up in a generation where God is saying, okay, the sins of the father, they will visit the children. So we owe it to the next generation to stand firm on the word of God and not be afraid to share it and not be afraid to call your representative, your senators, the governors, and speak out on the laws that they're going to try to pass It's going to take away what God wants to do for us. But God won't force himself on any of us, you know. Nobody this morning, God did not reach down into your bedroom and get you out of bed, did he? You freely got out of bed this morning and come to church. Amen? Amen. Well, it's the same way in our capital and our laws and stuff. God will not force himself into our laws. But if we have laws that go against him, he won't be there. Understand that. So we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our Creator, and to the next generation to stand firm on his word and voice it. Even though it might be rejection, even though you might get ridiculed, you might say you're an old fogey, and you're stuck back in the 30s or 40s. Folks, God's word is God's word. He didn't change it, amen? And we see what's happening because of us denying God. Not just in our country, but look around the world. Then we see other countries that lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and a lot of areas are starting to prosper, you know. A lot of countries are praying for the United States to have a revival. So let's be part of that revival here in the United States and continue to lift up the name of Christ to our elected officials and our senators and our own lives. You know, Noah was another one that went through ridicule times. And God said that man's heart was evil and that he would no longer tolerate him and that he's going to send a flood over the world. And what Noah started doing, God told him to build an ark. And for 120 years, Noah, I wasn't there, but I can imagine how much work he had to go, how many times he had to go to town and get stuff. And people, he would tell people, hey, listen, the flood's coming. You know, turn your heart to God, repent from your sins. And I imagine how they made fun of him. You're building an ark out somewhere there's not any water, you know. And we talked about that before, how, you know, Mad Marshal Jacobs here in Coshocton get ridiculed for building the Monticello, which is the boat over the towpath. Until he got it done, it was a great idea, and they used it. But Noah was willing to do what God called him to do, even though it was very unpopular. And for 120 years, he built the ark, and he constructed the ark, and he was telling people about what God had said. To turn away from your sins and come back to him. And, you know, his heart had to be heavy at times. He had to get to the point, I'm about ready to give up. And I'm not going to tell him no more. You know, I've done it for 99 years, God. Isn't that enough? But it was 21 more years before the ark was ready. And God put Noah and his family on it. And then I can imagine the minute that the ark was closed and the rain started. And number one, Noah had to rejoice because him and his family was safe. What Noah dedicated his life to do, by Noah yielding himself to the word of God, by Noah going through the ridicule and probably the persecution of the people around him and being rejected by people in his life and maybe his own family members and stuff, even though he shared with them what God said, the minute that rain started coming, I know for a moment he had to rejoice that, God, thank you. Thank you for sparing my wife and my children and their wives. Thank you, God Almighty, you know. And the wife probably said, oh, honey, I thought you was nuts too for a while, but thank you very much that you followed God. But then would come the time, as the rain started getting deeper, you would have heard this. And that's the people who didn't pay attention to what you were saying. That was the people that Noah had witnessed to. And said, get ready. Get ready. And they rejected. They had no concern at all for God until the moment the rain came. And then it was too late. And I just wonder how Noah's heart, how it would have felt. Would his heart been saddened? Or would he say, God, I did everything I could. I did everything he told me to do. They made their choice, God. I can't change their choice now. And focus on what he had to do with his wife and his children. You know? For 120 years he preached, and of course a lot of his family had passed away. They were believers, they had passed away. And I think the last one to pass was Methuselah, which would be his grandfather. You know, last thing Noah did before the floods came was he buried his father, whose name was Methuselah, which means when the flood comes. So if they would have listened, they would have known that when he died, I mean, the flood was coming. It was 7 days from the time that they buried Methuselah before the ark took off. But God tried every way he could to let people know that the flood was coming. But some people just didn't want to listen. Some people just didn't want to hear what was going on. They were too concerned. But man, Buck, if I have to get ready, you're using my eyesight this morning, buddy, so I'm sorry I'm picking on you. But for me to get prepared, I got to quit doing what I like to do, Buck. You know, come on. He ain't coming back yet. You know, you Christians have been saying that for 2,000 years that Jesus came. In fact, Paul was ready, and John, the Revelator, he thought he's coming back then. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and so, yeah, he's coming back. He's coming. Get ready, get ready. You just use that when you want to, don't you? We hear all kind of stuff like that. But along with his second coming, he gave us some signs to look forward to watch out for. Those signs have never, ever been fulfilled until now. That's the difference between the last 2,000 years and today, that these signs that he's given us is coming, is being fulfilled. Now, we, like Noah, need to encourage one another the same way. That listen, the Lord is coming back. Don't waver in your walk. Draw closer to him and tell other people that, listen, very, very soon, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back to take us out of here. And there's trials and tribulation that's coming on. Now, he tells us a few things here to watch out for. I know you know this. I know you heard this a few years ago. I know we mentioned it before, but we have to remind ourselves. We have to not get lazy-daisy. We can't get relaxed, okay? In Matthew 24, there's some signs that he showed us. And that's in verse 42. I'm going to share that with you here. He says, "Be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not allow his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think that he will come." Again, that's for us to encourage ourselves with, that he is coming, he is coming back, and he's not... He's not staying away. He's not staying away. He is not staying away. That was Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. And I want to share with you also in the 24, verse 6 and 8. He says this also, "You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely beginning of birth pains." So he says these things will take place, and he's telling us that he'll be coming, but no one knows the exact hour when he's coming. Okay? He said the Son of Man is coming at an hour. Again, he broke it down to an hour, Joe. He didn't say he won't know what month it's going to be in. Okay, didn't say what season is going to be in. He said you won't know the hour. Okay, so today we got up and we knew that 10 o'clock the service was going to start. Okay, but if I said, "Well, come to church, I'm not sure what hour it's going to start today," really you have a selection of 24 different hours in a day, right? Okay, so he said hour, so I think he broke it down to we'll know the day almost of his coming, but not the hour. We'll know when we're really getting close to it, but we don't know the exact hour when the Lord is coming. And we look at the scripture, look at the prophecies, we see the things being fulfilled right now, and we know that his hour could be any time, could it not? Could he not be here at any time? And we have to be encouraged by that and not give up and not get lax. So just think, what do you want to be doing when the Lord returns? What do you want to do when he comes back? You want to praise him? You want to be, you know, the worst thing, my luck, I won't say luck, I don't want to be yelling and screaming at my wife when the Lord comes back. "I told you, get that lawnmower out, mow that grass. By golly, I'm sitting here watching TV." Okay? Can you imagine doing something that we shouldn't be doing, and boom, and you finish your conversation right in front of Jesus Christ? Wow. I mean, it makes you think twice, doesn't it? You got to realize he hears your conversation anyway. You understand that? There's nothing else done that's done outside of God. Amen? I mean, he already sees that, you know. You think, "Oh, man, I got to repent for that if I get to heaven." He already saw that you did it. You still need to repent from it. But can you imagine whatever you're doing, and twinkle of an eye, you're standing in front of Jesus, and you're going to finish whatever you're doing, or you probably won't finish it, right in his presence. Now, if we think back this past week, is there anything that you did this past week that you would not want? Now, I'm not talking about taking a shower. I know some people think, well, I don't have a shower here. No, we'll go on. And that's just natural stuff there, okay? Anything you did this past week that you was raptured up in front of the Lord doing that? Is there something you would have changed this past week? Change it now. Because you already did it in front of him. He sees all things. He hears all things. And that's a good thing to think about in a way, because I know as children, Fred, if mom and dad was in the living room, we was in the bedroom, me and my brother, we got in all kind of stuff. They can't see me. You know, they hear a noise that you heard. What's going on in there? Okay. But God doesn't have to say, what's going on in there? He already sees it. Everything that we say, everything that we do. And I just pray that that motivates us to, you know, when we do sin, repent quickly, but even stay away from the sin. Don't even entertain the idea of sin. Okay? Daryl, last night when you were sitting there watching television, set that remote, the Lord was sitting beside you. Yep. When you were watching, I'll forget the name of the show. Thank you for being a friend. Golden Girl, I know your mama watched it. Okay, he's sitting there watching you with it. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember the name of it, but he was there. So remember, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be out of here, but just remember, in his presence. So make sure what you're doing on earth, you would do in front of everybody in heaven, because he's watching you right now. And I think when you think about that, it might change some of our conversations, maybe. It might change some of the things that we do. Some of the things that, I got away with that one. Woo. He's already seen it. So that's why we need to repent from and stay away from that. I mean, how? I don't know. It's just a different way of looking at it. And in Matthew 24, we just talked about it. As the days of Noah also will be when the coming of the Lord. And there's a lot of description on the days of Noah. But one thing, we look at Noah's days and we saw how sinful the world was, how no desire they had to follow the God. I imagine they had their gods in them days, but they're all false gods. You know, they worship gods that allow them to do everything that our God tells us sin. But you know, if people can find a God that allows them to do things that's sinful and not have that weight of guilt over them, they'll go there a lot of times. And that's the sad part of it, because the wages of sin is death. No matter what God you call, there's only one true God, and that's Jehovah, who redeemed us through the blood of the Son, Jesus Christ. But yes, Noah's days was terrible. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, when we listen to Iran and places like that, we see ourselves as a country making almost peace agreements with terrorist organizations and stuff. I find that kind of scary myself that we're doing that. But the thing of it is, we hear about wars all the time, do we not? And by Iran and Iraq and Israel and America and all those. And Jesus said, that won't take place. I mean, we don't have one day go by anymore that we don't hear about a war taking place, do we? No, we don't. We don't. And the Lord says that these things will take place. And that's his way of preparing us. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder, that ye should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers shall come with their mocking, followers after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued just as it was from the beginning. Fallen asleep means when they died. But when they maintained this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire, keep for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Again, he's saying that he's not slow. He hasn't forgot about us. Each day, the opportunity for more people to come to knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I had that privilege here just Friday. I was called up to the hospital. A man that was dying. I got to sat there for 10 minutes and share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ and share that blessed hope of salvation. Now, the man was in a coma, but when I spoke to him, he stirred a few times. So I have that hope that he received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And, you know, if Jesus would have came back on Thursday, I wouldn't have been there Friday to share the gospel. And so when we see ourselves going through more pressure, we're about ready to pull our hair out. We can't take it another day. We remember, though, as we pray the Lord to give us strength. One more day might be that one day for one of our loved ones to come and know the Lord. But verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord, which shall come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be in a holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the God? Now, listen here, I'm going to read 11 again. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Again, do we want to escape this wrath that's coming? Do we want to go through this wrath that's coming? Do we want loved ones to go through this wrath that is coming? Folks, no. So we have to live in holiness and in godliness. There's not one of us here, and folks, let me just stir your heart in a minute and I'll close. There's not one of us here who wants to see anyone go through what's coming upon this earth. Not one of us. And I know that if we could have a vision right now of what's going to take place, we'd be so stirred up. We'd be right out of the building right now, knocking on everybody's door and get shocked and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's given us this description right there. It's going to take everything to be burned up. War is coming. Destruction is coming. I don't want to go through it. Nobody wants to go through it. And if you keep your hand on the Lord and follow him, let nothing derail you from what you started with Jesus. But it is following Jesus Christ. It's allowing him in our life daily. He's in your thoughts. He's in your decisions. He's in what you did last night. He's in what you're going to do this afternoon and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived, influenced by Satan in any way. If you have something that's coming against you day in and day out, man, we need to get together. You need to get rid of it now. No matter how harmless it might seem to you, I didn't hurt nobody. If you're living in sin, it's going to destroy yourself. And sin falls down to the next generations. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. Okay, since we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord, he says, be diligent to be found by Jesus in peace, spotless, and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, and they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Otherwise, saying people who are not following the Lord will take these scriptures and they'll twist them around. They don't understand them. They'll make these scriptures fit their lifestyle. And he said, man, don't do that. He said, don't do that. You stay a holy living and godliness. Follow Christ. Don't be betrayed. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And he says, to continue to grow and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to grow. That way you will not be deceived. That you will not fall away to a false doctrine. But you know, they might... You know, some preacher might start preaching, hey, the rapture already took place. You guys missed it. We know that'll be right, is it? We know that's false. A lot of distortments coming. A lot of things are being preached that are not of the gospel. You have the gospel in your hands in the Bible. I give you the verses today. Go home and study them and read them. Continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to grow. Don't be settled on what you have. It might mean more time in Bible study. It might mean more time in the evening. Open your Bibles up. I was talking the other day to someone again. It seems like TV comes up a lot. And there's nothing at all where you can find a watch on TV. And I think, well, I think that's a blessing from God to shut your TV off and get the Bible back out and start reading it. Let it be your evening entertainment.